Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer. I'm the author of Outsmarting Autism. Today my guest is Dr. Larry Miller, a family physician in Bucks County, PA. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Patty.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. And how about yourself?
The same. So Larry and I are new friends. We have not met. But we've had some really good conversation about our kids and autism and other developmental issues. Larry, you're an osteopathic doctor, a DO, right?
Yes.
And I just had Latran Hong on, and she also is a DO. She wrote a book called Osteopathic Medicine for Children. And so my listeners may be familiar with what a DO is, but why don't you tell us just briefly how it differs from an MD?
Sure. So, doctor of osteopathy or an osteopathic physician, we basically get very similar treatment or similar training, I should say, as far as our preclinical and clinical training goes, except the philosophy is slightly different. Basically, it was a physician that branched out back in the 1800s, A.T. Still, who decided to take more of a holistic approach to medicine, looking at the body really as connected, all connected, not just in parts. So
what an amazing
that's
idea.
How it evolved and then, you know, developed. And so I was very, very appreciative of that approach, and so we also get what's called osteopathic manipulative training as part of our coursework. So that's in addition to the conventional training.
So you've been in practice for more than 20 years, and then you had some pretty personal experience with kids on the spectrum. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. So back in, my son was born in 99, and back in about 2001, we started noticing some changes in him that, you know, he was developing normally, and then at about 18 months old, he started to regress, and he was losing language, he was having self-stimulatory behaviors, things that we were just unaccustomed to. So, you know, I was really stumped, and, you know, in my training, I had not had really any experience with seeing anything, you know, like he was exhibiting. So, and then, interestingly, I was listening to a talk show with Doug Flutie, you know, who's a dad of a child with autism, and he was describing his son. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's Sam, who's my son.
Wow.
So, you know, so we were concerned, and obviously started looking into investigating autism, and then that led us down the road of seeing a developmental pediatrician, Sam getting a diagnosis, and then that opened up a whole new world to me as far as trying to work on recovering Sam.
And so how did you figure out how to do that? Where did you go?
So back then I feverishly researched what was available, you know, for our children, because in my training, again, we weren't really seeing many kids with autism back 25 years ago. You know, the prevalence was so much less. You know, it could have been about 1 in 250 back then. So I started looking, and I really stumbled upon, in my research, Defeat Autism Now, Dan, So, right. I went to my first conference. This was back in 2001, and I was just overwhelmed. I was just so excited to know that there were possible treatments. And it was a grassroots movement of many docs who also had children with autism, who were just also trying to find answers for their children. So that's what started it for me, and then I continued to go to conferences to keep up on, you know, the most up-to-date and innovative treatments for our kids. So that's what I started to do, and then I began not only working on my own son, but also helping other children as well to try and heal them from what was causing their symptoms related to
autism. So since we are detectives, you said we'll look for clues. And you said that Sam he regressed. What were you seeing? What were some of the clues that led you to a biomedical approach rather than to a behavioral approach?
Right. So when I had gone to the conference and learned all about what was available, because when I looked through the conventional literature, Patty, There really wasn't anything. And when we went to our developmental pediatrician, who was, you know, at like one of the top traditional trained institutions at CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, we, you know, she basically said, look, there's not a whole lot available. You know, get applied behavioral ABA as much as you can. You know, try and get approved for as many hours as possible. And you'll hear about like gluten-free, casein-free diets. You'll hear about B12 shots, but nothing has been scientifically proven, and, you know, I can't really condone any of those therapies. So, you know, we'll see you back basically in 6 months to see how he's doing. So, you know, that just wasn't good enough for me at the time. I was just like, there's got to be more out
right.
there. So that's when I, you know, encountered Dan, went out there, and then it just opened up that world to researching all that Dan that I had learned from the Dan approach, from conferences, and from you know, the various doctors that I was corresponding with to learn. You know,
and you and
possible.
I probably met at that one of the San Diego Dans, or if you were at the Cherry Hill, New Jersey Dan, because we were the booksellers there.
Right, I was at both of those. I was at Cherry Hill and San Diego, so probably we did meet, even though we did, not formally.
right. Now then. You have two other kids, right?
Yes. So
tell
I
us
have
about
my,
them.
Yeah, so my eldest Sam, 24, you know, we just mentioned has autism. Then there's my my middle child, my son Zachary. He is 20, and he is now a junior in college. You know, up at Pitt in your neck of the woods, and
right.
And he's doing well. I mean, he's neurotypical and. You know, he's pre-med. He wants to go to med school, despite
wow.
me saying you may want to reconsider. But no, jokingly, he's doing well.
Him medically any different than you treated Sam?
So what we did with Sam, he was fully. I'll say the one thing we did differently with Sam was he was fully vaccinated up until the point that we saw regression, because at that point. I had learned, oh my goodness, vaccines could potentially be inducing this. So I said, there's no way that we can continue with vaccines. So Sam, we stopped at that 18-month time when we saw the regression. So when we had Zachary, we said, oh, there's no way. If vaccines potentially are causing his regression, there's no way we can put him at risk for that. So Zachary, we did not vaccinate at all, and... he didn't receive any injections. He didn't receive vitamin K shot. He didn't receive any antibiotic, you know, drops for
wow.
his eyes. Everything was just, and he was, Sam had more difficulty with breastfeeding, to be honest with you, but latching on. So Melissa, my wife, did not breastfeed and did not nurse him for as long. Zachary was nursed for a full year. And then also Zachary, Sam was sick. At around that 18-month time frame when he was vaccinated, he had an ear infection, he'd received antibiotics,
yeah.
he had also been on Tylenol, which, you know, all could be problematic, you know, for our kids.
It's such a classic story, isn't it?
It was the perfect storm, Patty. Yeah. And, you know, we all hear about Tylenol now. There are many lawsuits about that potentially inducing autism. And then also antibiotics, the way that they could affect the microbiome. And, you know, that can lead to problems in the gut with the gut-brain connection causing neuroinflammation
right.
affecting the brain. So, yes, you know, and Zachary did not have any of that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, fortunately, you know, he wasn't affected and, you know, he's, you know, been doing well, healthy, and, you know,
so,
God bless
everybody. So Sam had some red flags that today, as a doctor, you would recognize even before a child regressed into autism.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Now you have a third child.
So yes, now my daughter is 14, and she also has autism. Now, in her case, of course, we said we're going to do everything we can, right, to prevent any of the issues that we had with Sam. You know, we're not going to put her on antibiotics if she's sick, unless it's something where it's an emergency situation where she does need it. But, you know, if it's something mild like an ear infection or it's not really truly warranted, we're going to try and hold off on something like that if all possible, avoiding Tylenol as well, because we know the potential problems with our kids not possibly being able to detoxify some of the metabolites of that, which
right.
can be you know, problematic. And we also did not vaccinate Addison. But Addison's case was different because Addison did not regress. She was born where we saw she had developmental delays from birth. So, you know, she was not sitting up at an early age. She was not walking. She walked late. She was talking late. So, but and there was nothing. She was also breastfed. Didn't receive any medications. Was on a healthy diet. So. But the problem in her case, or the issue that we think may have precipitated for her, was Melissa, my wife, was sick during the pregnancy. She had this virus called parvovirus, which can actually lead to fetal demise. So at the time we were seeing our obstetrician, the obstetrician recommended that Melissa receive serial ultrasounds, so weekly ultrasounds, just to assess the status of Addison, you know, in the womb.
Wow.
And fortunately, you know, they weren't seeing any sort of compromise and anything serious as far as looking towards fetal demise, so that may be indicative of that. However, she had received, again, multiple ultrasounds, which is another thing that potentially is one that's controversial, but could be an irritant of the abdomen or of the immune system. And then also the infection. So we know that moms that have infections during pregnancy are at much greater risk for having a child with autism. So, you know, she had those couple of things that possibly could have been the triggers for her.
Now, are Sam and Addison similarly even in their development, or is one a little more verbal than the other, or is either of them
so
verbal?
I would say, even though Sam, they're I'd say almost equally verbal. They have very limited conversation. They can request what they want as far as with their wording. But if we were to have an open-ended conversation, it would be very limited.
Mm.
And they're just different as far as their behaviors, their emotions. Like Sam, he can be more irritable, more agitated. But Sam also has a condition known as ulcerative colitis. So that tends when that's affecting him, when his belly is bothering him, he may not express it. So he can have sometimes some more behaviors related to discomfort associated with that.
And
Addison,
how do you
doesn't
treat
have
that?
Any other excuse me?
How do you treat Sam's colitis?
So Sam, interestingly, Sam, he was on... He got diagnosed when he was about 16, and then he was placed on biological medication because it was moderate to severe, and he was really struggling. So we went the conventional approach initially, and then he wound up being hospitalized because he wound up having a surgery. He got a little bit better on that, got hospitalized because he fractured his ankle, needed surgery, and the stress of the surgery exacerbated his colitis. So he wound up having to be hospitalized. So he was on heavy duty and biological medication. And honestly, got a little bit better, but then he just didn't seem to be improving. So we wound up taking him off of that, and we wound up treating him naturally. I started just feverishly researching what else is available, and I found, you know, a company that is taking a more natural approach. Actually, doctors in Israel that started this company that, they found that many of the biologicals were just not working for even some of their most severe cases, and they developed certain protocols that were very effective, and we started following that, and really have seen some excellent results with Sam.
Can you tell us more about that, the name of the company and what they do?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the name of the company is Evinature, and they are
involved.
How do you
spell it?
With yes, E-V-I-N as in Nancy, A-T-U-R-E.
Uh-huh.
And they're like I said, based out of Israel, and they use supplements. The two main supplements that they use to treat ulcerative colitis and actually Crohn's disease, so inflammatory bowel disease, are this one supplement called Qing Dai, which is a Chinese herb, and the other one is curcumin, which is a derivative of curcumin, which many of us know as turmeric.
Can you spell that Chinese herb?
Yeah, Qing Dai. It's a Q-U-I-N-G, and then the separate word, Dai, D-A-I.
And
it actually comes from the plant Indigo naturalis, I-N-D-I-G-O, and then naturalis, N-A-T-U-R-A-L-I-S.
Uh-huh.
And, they've seen some great results with it for people going into remission, you know, with that herb.
And they combine it with what?
Oh, the Qing Dai is combined with curcumin. So it's basically a derivative of curcumin.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So
And it's taken by mouth?
Taken by mouth, yes. So
And so what happened when he started taking these?
His colitis improved. He basically went into remission when he was really failing the biologicals. You know, he had been on three intravenous infusions of this strong medication to try and just calm the inflammation down. And Sam had been on an autoimmune paleo diet. He'd been gluten free, casein free. He had done everything from a dietary perspective to try and heal his colitis, but that didn't work. And we had done other lifestyle measures, and between exercise, stress reduction, and just improving his sleep, all of those things to try and mitigate his symptoms. But unfortunately, he wasn't responding to those. So, like I said, I also went back to the drawing board and could not to knock the conventional gastroenterologist, but they didn't have anything else to offer at the time. So that's
right.
When Melissa, and she goes, it's amazing. Sometimes going on the Facebook boards and social media, some of the parents, you just finding what they've used. And I think that's actually how we found Evinature, was somebody had mentioned it or it came into our feed. And I think she sent it to me. I researched it, and then I called the company and just researched what they were doing. And they were all doing the scientific research using this. So even though they were small studies, like small groups, however, it wasn't just like they were willy-nilly just throwing supplements at people with where it was unfounded, without the evidence. So
is Sam still on a special diet?
So Sam, yes. So Sam is still on a paleo diet, and he's gluten free, casein free, and that's really grain free, sugar free. He's done quite well with that.
Is it a plant-based diet or it's not? It's got a good amount of animal food.
It's an omnivore. He's an omnivore, so he does, because he is not, he has sensory issues. He does not really eat many vegetables, unfortunately. So many of our kids, as you know, Patty, have the sensory issues, and he's one of those kids. The only way we were ever able to really get vegetables into him was through if we hid it, like in muffins or in cakes. Like, there was no other way that he would take like a green bean or your broccoli. I mean, it was impossible. So it was either supplements or just hiding it. So
how about in juice?
That's why we...
juice or smoothies?
Right. The other way we could have, but same thing. He's not. We had tried that like years ago, and he was not one to he didn't like the taste of, you know, when it had the vegetables. Like, he was able to sense that. We couldn't hide, you know, that taste, unfortunately, even when we tried to add as much fruit as possible, you know, to try and mask it in his case, so.
So it's a pretty traditional paleo diet, more than a, say, a GAPS diet?
Correct. Right. It is more of a paleo diet. That's right. So it's mainly keeping him away from the grains. That we found has been, you know, very helpful for him, you know, avoiding the gluten, but really all grains in his case.
Right.
Also, carb, protein. We're trying to just really increase his protein level as well to get him more strength. And that's what we felt. You know, he's more of a meat and potato kind of kid. So he'll have burgers and steak, you know, most nights, you know, for dinner. So, he's not an egg eater, you know, which we would like, but, you know, again, it's the sensory issue there.
And so what have you done to improve his sensory issues?
So we've worked on various areas, you know, we think about many of the root cause issues, you know, when it comes to autism.
Right.
So Sam had problems with detoxification as well. You know, we saw that years ago he had problems with heavy metals, you know, years ago. So he actually did receive chelation, and we saw improvement. He also had ionic foot baths. We also used sauna therapy for him, you know, in order to try and help him with the detox. So those did help. He also did have hyperbaric oxygen, just to increase oxygenation to the brain to help reduce inflammation. But the gut, as we know, is plays a huge role. In Sam's case,
Larry, we need to take a break. I need to stop you for 1 minute and take a little break. And when we come back, you can talk a little more about some of these detox methods, which are really important in autism. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer with my guest, osteopathic Dr. Larry Miller. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. Today, my guest, Dr. Larry Miller, is telling us about his children, and he has two children, a boy and a girl, with autism with very different etiologies. And he was a doctor before. He had two children with autism and a third typical son. So, Larry, you were going to tell us about some of these detox methods. Why? How did our kids get toxic in the first place? And how do you know what detox method to use with them?
Sure. No, that's a great question, Patty. So many of our kids are exposed to, we live in this toxic world, right? We're exposed to so many toxins, just not only in the environment through pollution, but in many cases, you know, we have these heavy metals in medications. And one of the biggies, which I know is such an area of controversy, is vaccines. You know, aluminum is one of the, it's used as a preservative and actually used also with and mercury as well as preservatives, and also in order to augment an immune response. However, right, even though they're at low levels in these vaccines, we don't know what our kids can handle. Like, everybody is different as far as their detox capacity. So in a baby, you know, well, newborn, you know, because kids are getting vaccinated as early as 2 days old, with hepatitis B, you don't know how well these kids can handle these shots. So if they're getting these heavy metals in the vaccines, and their detox capacity, either genetically or from some other irritant, is affecting that, then that can lead to this it can overwhelm their right. body's ability to eliminate it, and then it affects the brain. And when you affect the brain,
no,
whether it's from
too much aluminum is even a little teeny bit of aluminum, and the same is true of mercury. They're both so potentially toxic.
Right, they're neurotoxins, so
right.
absolutely. So the problem in many cases is if it's the vaccines, if it's that toxic load that our kids can't handle, then that in itself can lead to autism, you know, just the neurotoxicity from those
right.
heavy metals.
So you talked about detoxification. Where do you start? How do you know what to do?
Right. So you can test for these heavy metals in, you know, through various methods. You know,
what do
many
you
families
like?
Many families will start with a hair analysis. The concern there is sometimes could there be environmental impact there? Could it be something outside that's coming in contact with the hair that's causing it? A higher level of that when you do a hair analysis. So one of the better ways is doing a urinalysis
mm-hmm.
for heavy metals, which there are various companies out there that do perform that. There's also stool testing for heavy metals. Blood testing, however, the blood testing you need to have more of an acute exposure in order to really see that come back abnormal when the test is run.
Are these tests that you need a doctor like you to perform, or can some of them be done at home by the patient?
Some of them can, where you can just order directly online. Some of the labs allow parents where it's direct to consumer. Others do require that the parents get a doctor's order to go to the lab, and then the kit is sent, you know, to the patient in order
uh-huh.
to submit that to the lab.
Uh-huh. And so you like a urine or stool test?
Right. Urine, I do like the hair as well. It's just sometimes you have to be careful with interpreting if it is abnormal. That could potentially be related to the environment that the kid is in. So, yes, the urine is the one I tend to more often use.
Uh-huh. What about mold?
Mm-hmm. Right, so mold is a huge problem as well, and the problem in many cases is it's not always visible. You know, we all know of those clear-cut cases of mold where, you know, you can either smell it or you can see, like, black mold on the walls. Those are more of the obvious, you know, cases of mold exposure or
mm-hmm.
mold infestation. However, there are many cases that I've seen where mold is behind the walls, you can't detect it,
right.
And it's not until we have somebody either come out or families are just have that inclination of, oh, it might be mold from just learning how mold, you know, can be a toxin, just like, you know, because mold is really a fungus, just like yeast or candida.
Right.
And in a kid's vulnerable immune system, like many of our kids are, it can really wreak havoc on it. So if you don't have, if there's not odor or anything visible, it's still something that you have to have on your radar to say mold is still possibly a root cause of your child's autism.
And if you also have other family members who are all of a sudden getting sick, they're getting constant colds or runny noses or a cough or a rash or things that didn't show up previously, especially in adults. I had a friend who had a detached retina that they blamed on significant mold exposure, and then he had a heart attack. And so, I mean, it can be a lot of different clues that you have to be a real detective to figure out.
Right. Many different manifestations from that. That's correct. It can really...
Right. And so, Larry, this really, really, with your experience with your kids, you couldn't help but share all your new knowledge and practice medicine differently. So you went from being a rather traditional family physician to, what do you call yourself now, a functional medicine doctor or a biomed doctor? What do you like? What term
do
you like?
I'm more of a biomedical physician, and now I've actually been helping families more with health coaching them as well, so we can really empower them to be able to heal their children. Because I've always said to families, it's never too late. Recovery or healing is always possible, and you just have to envision that and say, like, it can happen. I've seen kids or adults that are in their 20s, like my son's age, where, you know, they've done everything, or they hadn't done anything, and it's like, my child has autism, it is what it is. And then finally they learn more about what new is out there, or about biomedical treatments or other options, and they start exploring it, and it's miraculous, Patty, how
it
some
is.
Of these adults have responded, you know.
Yep,
to
it is, and it's never too late. I mean, Larry, I think the name of your practice, Hope, Health, and Wellness, I love that name.
Thank you.
It tells you that no matter where your child is on the autism spectrum, we can get him better. How much better? We have no idea until we get started.
That's right. Exactly. It's a journey. And, you know, I've been there for the last 22 years with my son and with many other families. And so I know exactly what families are going through day in and day out, you know, not only as a practitioner, but as a parent. So I'm, you know, living in the trenches and trying to figure it out, just like everybody else is, and it's evolving, and there's new research, and I'm constantly on, you know, PubMed, which is really just looking at new journal articles about anything that's new, that could, anything new related to autism and what we can do to help our kids.
So, Larry, you have to take another break, and when we come back, I want to talk about this amazing program that you've started called the Autism Healing Program, where you're the health coach. You're listening to the Autism Detective with my guest, Larry Miller, in Bucks County, PA. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death! ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. My guest, Dr. Larry Miller, has told us about his two children with autism, his typical son, and how he got involved in a biomedical approach to autism. And his practice is called Hope Health and Wellness. That's a tongue twister, Larry. Tell people how they can find you.
Sure. So you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram. You know, I post fairly often, and that's at My Hope Wellness is my handle. And then, you know, my email is myhopewellness.com.
All right, that's your website. And on
My website. Yeah, my email is also My Hope Wellness. But, yes, my website. Excuse me.
It's myhopewellness@gmail.
Is the email. That's right. myhopewellness@gmail.com is the email. And then the website is myhopewellness.com.
Right. And so you've established this 12-session program, this autism healing program. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So what I've done is I decided over the years with the families that I've worked with that I found that I wasn't able to help them as much as I could by just seeing them every 6 months, every 3 months, every year. You know, it depended on the case. And I felt like the families, like my family, you know, was kind of left in the lurch with what to do. Like, what do we do in between? Like, the doctor, I may give a patient some instructions and say, this is what we would start with, this would come next. But then I felt like it was just overwhelming for many of them. You know,
right, and they were wandering in the wilderness.
Right, exactly. Where do we go? And look, we're stressed families to begin with, especially parents of, like, how do we handle, it's not only working on the biomedical, but it's working on the education, it's working on social stuff and everything else just going on in life. So I said to myself, what can we do to try and help families more on, like, a day-to-day basis where I'm empowering them at least with all the information.
Fantastic.
So they don't have to just be going to these conferences. And then it's customized for them as well, because like I said, Addison and Sam are different kids, so I can't just create this protocol that says Everybody has this cookie cutter approach. So I wanted to, at least in this program, develop all the possible root causes related to autism and give the education to the families and then tailor it to their children so they know exactly how they can approach it on their own and then what they could do with their physicians as well in order to, if they need to ask them questions. So I'm there to really hold their hand and guide them and support them through this whole process.
And do you do that in person? Do you do it online? Do you have tapes or... How does it work?
Right, so this is done in, it's, well, if people live locally, I see them in person, but many of the people we do it virtually. So it's 12 sessions, and it's really covering, you know, all the major topics associated, you know, with autism, you know, such as the diet, the gut, mitochondrial dysfunction, toxicity, the immune system, genetics, brain chemistry, so supplements, labs. So we go through all of that, and then, again, we'll tailor it. Sometimes we'll focus more on one area if a parent has more of a concern about the gut or more about toxins or more about the immune system, depending on the history of what happened with that child, if it was regressive or if it was something where if they had infantile autism, where there may have been more of like a genetic concern there. So we'll go through those. Typically we'll do monthly sessions, so it'll be over a year. Sometimes we'll do it every other week. It really depends on what the family is able to do. I found the sweet spot really to be about once a month. And then in between those monthly visits, I'm still available through email, through texting, for any questions that families have. So I'm basically there, like, you know, in their back pocket, so to speak, for any concerns at all that they have. So
is this a package deal or is it a la carte?
It is a package deal. So, yeah, you're getting all 12 sessions and then unlimited email and texting as part of that package.
That's a really nice program.
Well, thank you. And it took a while, but I used to have, Patty, individual sessions where I'd meet with families just weekly, but I found that there were just all these topics. They would wind up booking session after session. And after a while, I said, you know what? Let me create this program that really covers everything
right.
related to autism. And then again, we could focus on more areas. It just, that's kind of the guideline of that program that we use is working on all those topics. But like I said, it could be focused on one specific topic over a couple of sessions if needed, depending on what's going on with the child.
And so do you prioritize these topics? Like, do you work on the gut first or on the toxicity first? How do you prioritize them?
So it depends on the history. So the very first session, I'll get the history, kind of like we were discussing with Sam and Addison, is mm-hmm. what happened to them. And if it sounds like if they have, say, many GI symptoms, or they're having where it seems like the gut could have been the root issue based upon the history of, like, say somebody was on antibiotics, even if they don't have any GI symptoms, we could assume that there might be dysbiosis or an abnormal population of germs in the
right.
the gut. So that would kind of lead me to say, let's focus more on the gut. Let's prioritize that over over detox or over uh-huh. the immune system or mitochondrial function.
Right.
So,
and you've developed a little ebook that I downloaded and looked at. It's very, very impressive. Can anybody get that ebook, or do they have to work with you?
Oh, no, they can get that. So you can just go onto the website and you can download that for free and use that as a guide, you know, and to help any family out. So yeah, no, that's something that's free for
And the website is myhopewellness.com. And then you can download the ebook, which I want to talk about in a minute. And then you also have a newsletter, right?
Yes.
And
so
can you do that on your website?
Same thing. They're both on the website, so there's a link for the ebook, and there's at the bottom and on the footer of, I think, each page, you'll have a link to the newsletter. The ebook.
And how
is
often
separate.
Does the newsletter come out?
Once a week.
Once a week. That's a lot of work.
Right. So once a week, typically, I'll send people, write a newsletter or an email just to update them as far as anything new, the newest and the greatest, if you will, related to any topic on autism that that I'm learning about or that may be interesting at the time.
Now, do you have people in your area or around the country for your virtual people who you can refer people to for various adjunct therapies?
Yes. So depending on the type of therapy they need, so if they need, say, vision therapy or occupational therapy, speech therapy or physical therapy, we'll refer to different groups locally that I've used, and if I'm unaware, if they don't live locally, then I'll help them research online or use resources like you have or refer them to you to say, hey, to try and network to find somebody that's easy for them to find.
Good. So, Larry, we need to take our last break, and when we come back, I want to talk about this ebook a little bit because it's got some stuff in it that even I've never seen. You're listening to The Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer with my guest, Dr. Larry Miller, and we will be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior, by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. This is Patricia Lemmer with my guest, Dr. Larry Miller. Dr. Miller has come up with an autism healing program, a 12-session program. He does both virtually and for locals in the Bucks County area. And Dr. Miller, this sounds like a really, really amazing supportive program. And then you got your e-book, too, to educate people about what you're going to talk about. I downloaded the e-book, like I said, and I was very, very impressed with it. And I love your acronym, Damn Big Hats, and that describes the different parts of the book. Can you go through that, Damn Big Hats, and tell us what all those parts are?
Sure. So as parents, as you know, Patty, we do wear damn big hats in order to try and help our kids out. So that's what made me think about it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right. So I was trying to, as I was piecing all the
just
the
briefly each one.
Right. So the D is really stands for diet. So, you know, we really need to focus on some dietary intervention for our kids.
Right.
You know, we mentioned gluten-free, casein-free diets. Some kids go on the GAPS diet or the specific carbohydrate diet. But really, the most important thing is a healthy diet, trying to not go with ultra-processed foods and focus and prioritize protein.
Right.
So it's something that's going to be sustainable and healthy. So that's
right.
The D. I can go through each one.
What? Autoimmune?
One of the A's, that's right, is for autoimmune. So, you know, many of our kids will get something that triggers autoimmunity, where the body is sensing its normal tissue as being foreign. So anything could trigger that. It could be a toxin. It could be an infection. It could be something, some food like gluten in the
gut.
It could be...
an allergy, like a sense of food sensitivity.
So anything that's just... That's dysregulating the immune system could set off autoimmunity. We see it with our PANS and PANDAS kids as well, but
right.
Often an infection can do it. Infections, allergies, or foods tend to be the biggest triggers there.
And
so
the M is mito?
Yes, that's right. M is mitochondria dysfunction.
Yeah,
so, you know, the mitochondria are those battery packs in all of
right.
our cells. They produce all the power that we need. So... What can affect or impair our mitochondrial function? And similarly, it could be our diet, it could be stress, it could be infections, toxins, autoimmune disorders. So some of these things have similar etiologies for each of them that are the causes, but so they're all interrelated. So,
all right, so let's go through the other letters quickly. And N is neuro?
N is a nutrient deficiency.
Oh, nutrient,
so,
okay.
Right.
And
so
B?
B is brain chemistry abnormalities.
Mm, like
so,
what?
So serotonin, dopamine, acetylcholine, those being depleted or being abnormal can lead to changes in the brain. Of I is going to be an infection, any infection.
Okay. G?
G is the gut, so any sort of gut disturbance or inflammation.
And how about hats?
H is hormones. So, any diminished or elevated levels of testosterone or estrogen, progesterone.
We see this a lot in girls, a lot of high testosterone and autism in girls. Does your daughter have that?
She does not, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, there can be with some girls where they have elevated male hormones, almost like PCOS we see. It's very similar, polycystic ovarian syndrome, where the girls have, where it should be lower, but they have the opposite of what you would think. And
wow.
That can really create problems with their immune system and their metabolism in general. So,
and
yeah,
ATS, what are those?
Right. So A was, the other A is allergy, like you had mentioned.
Oh, okay.
So that could be seasonal allergies. It could be food allergies. The T is toxins. So as we discussed, like mercury, aluminum,
right.
But it could also be pesticides, herbicides. It could be any other environmental toxins.
Right, glyphosate.
Glyphosate, exactly. Yep, and
yep.
That's a biggie, as we know.
It's a biggie. And
then,
the S?
So the S could be stress and sleep. So for both.
Two of my favorite topics.
Right.
Yep.
So kind of a double there.
So you help them with sleep hygiene.
Our kids, right.
So sleep hygiene is something you can focus on with them.
Yes, exactly. So we work on, because some kids also have sleep apnea as
right.
well, but sleep hygiene is a major area that we try and focus on, because so many of our kids have unstructured sleep or have disrupted sleep.
And so some of this sleep apnea we hear about with their parents, but not so much with kids. Do you put a dental appliance or a CPAP on a child?
In some cases, that can happen. Other cases, it could be related to their tonsils, from kids that have had many cases of strep throat or tonsil infections, and sometimes having their tonsils removed actually will correct that. Some kids also have central sleep apnea, where it's actually coming from brain disruption, not from their airway being, it's not obstructive, but it's known as central sleep apnea.
Interesting.
So that's just,
and you talk about something called zonulin. This was the first time I had read about that. Tell us about zonulin.
Right, so zonulin is a protein produced in the gut, and when you have what's known as a leaky gut, zonulin will leak out from the gut into the bloodstream, and it'll come back elevated in the urine or in the blood when you run that test. So that's indicative of a leaky gut when that comes back elevated. Our gut should have, it should be very tight, the cells, the junctions, they're
right.
called tight junctions, kind of should be like a fence where there's nothing going through. That barrier should really be almost completely impermeable, except for very specific nutrients. But when it becomes more permeable, that's when you have this leaky gut. And then foods like we mentioned, gluten, toxins could affect the gut. So the gut is the root of many problems.
Mm-hmm.
And Hippocrates, who's the father of medicine, said really the gut is really the root of all disease. And that stems back, 2,500 years ago. So
Gershon wrote one of my favorite books called The Second Brain, which is all about the gut.
Right. It's so true. I mean, 70% of our immune system, Patty, is in the gut, and the immune
right.
system is throughout the body. So, when you disrupt the immune system, it causes so many of these diseases, and autism is one of them. There's that gut-immune-brain connection. And when we start working on the gut, it usually helps repair the immune system, which will consequently improve the brain.
I love that, Larry. So, for our listeners, your website is myhopewellness.com. Your email is myhopewellness@gmail.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you can go to your website and sign up for your weekly newsletter. And I strongly recommend that everybody listening download your ebook and consider this 12-session autism healing program that you do. That is really a combination of and doctoring, right?
Yes, right. It's more, I'm giving them, I'm not really giving them as much in the way of medical advice here, because I'm more acting in a coaching fashion as far as supporting them and guiding them. But yes, I do have the knowledge, the physician knowledge, to be able to help provide
right.
that support to them.
So some final words. We got 1 minute. Give us your final thoughts.
So I'm so excited to be able to provide, this opportunity to help families in whatever capacity possible in order to help them on this healing journey for their children. I completely understand where so many of us are, and I'm just here to tell you, I know where you're at, and your child can recover and heal, and just keep forging ahead and don't give up. It's never too late.
Larry, thank you so, so much. I look forward to meeting you someday. Hopefully we'll run into each other at a conference. I haven't been going to too many lately, but we will, in the same state, we should be able to find a place to meet.
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Patty.
All right.
Thank you so much.
And get through this cold winter, and spring is on the way.
Yes, indeed. You as well, Patty. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.